It is the big wake-up call, and it is that time once again to head on over and welcome into our 639 Timers Club, Bill McCormick. Good morning, Bill.
Good morning, Ryan. How are you this bright and beautiful day?
You are the exclusive member. I don't think anybody's within like 600 of you.
Yeah, it seems like I'm always here, and it's funny because people, every now and then on Twitter, someone will write me, and they're like, and I listen to your radio show, and I always write them back, I'm a regular guest on that show. And they're like, really? There's more? there's a lot more.
I appreciate those who tune in Fridays exclusively, but if you listen the rest of the week, we got some awesome guests.
Yeah, I was actually looking at the list of guests you posted on Facebook of people who'd recently been on there, and I was sitting there, and I'm going, oh, God, I'm old. I've been drinking with this guy and doing this. And I actually just did a convention with one of the writers you had on. He and I were being writer pals.
Oh, which one?
James Robertson.
Okay, gotcha.
Yeah, we did a big thing in L.A., and it was Danny Trejo was there. It was kind of like the who's who of all the really cool underground kids.
Sure. We've had Danny Trejo on a couple of times. We get the good guests. We get the same guests that Jimmy Kimmel and Jimmy Fallon get.
Yeah, but they're better. They sound better on your show. They don't get so pandered to.
They do. Well, we don't do any pre-interviews or, hey, you know, let's set you up for some wacky anecdotes. We just have a real chat. Like you and I have a real chat. Do you think you and I rehearse these things? Absolutely not. Does it sound like we rehearse? Absolutely not.
It sounds like we barely talk in public sometimes.
This is the only time I have ever talked to Bill ever is when we do these segments, and I'm not making it up.
No, that's pretty close to true, like 99% true. So, all right. I saw, speaking of Facebook, I was trolling your site because I do that from time to time.
Mm-hmm.
And I noticed you were talking about doing jury duty.
Yes, I had jury duty on Wednesday. It was the first time I'd ever been called, and I got the notice in the mail, I don't know, like a month ago, and you're a standby juror. And I thought, there's no way I'm going to get called. I'm a standby. I'm like an extra. So you dial the hotline number the night before, and okay, if your last name starts with
C,
as in
Charlie,
between R, as in Romeo, then you do need a report. And I was like, oh, son of a bleep. So drive all the way the heck down to Maywood and sit around for 3 hours. I could go in depth to the story, but I won't. But sit around for 3 hours, finally get called into the courtroom, and then just to be dismissed. I didn't even get interviewed. I didn't get to point to the defendant and say, he did it, that's him. I didn't get to, you know, do you think you could judge this fairly? And I said, well, I don't know. Do I get to sentence someone to a hanging? I didn't get to say any of that. I had so much material prepared.
Yeah, it can be a bit of a waste of time. Because I saw you were in Maywood, and it brought back some really fun memories for me. I was 20 years old. Keep that age in mind, because it's important.
Okay.
I was 20 years old. I got called for jury duty, and like you, I had to go to Maywood. At that time, I was playing with bands and everything, although my legal address was in Melrose Park, where they sent the thing to, and my grandmother said read it to me over the phone.
Mm-hmm.
I was actually living like the Chicago, Indiana border, close to where I'm living now. And so I had to go all the way out. Like you, I called in, and yes, I was called. So I went all the way out to Maywood, and I got in there, and I was there all morning, did the lunch thing, got out of lunch, finally got called like 2 o'clock in the afternoon. I finally got called into a court. And they did ask me some questions. And then all of a sudden, one of the attorneys, I think it was a defense attorney, stood up and he said, we're dismissing this juror with prejudice.
Wow, what does that mean?
They're
prejudiced against you because you're Irish?
No, it just means that they don't need a valid reason. Each attorney is allowed a few of those that they're allowed to just dismiss. They can look at you and go, I don't like the hair color on this guy. And even though there's not a valid legal reason for dismissing someone, they dismiss them. And I look like a 20-year-old. Well, I look like what I was. I was a 20-year-old punk rocker with my mohawk tied back and the chains woven into a braid.
Oh, nice. Perfect. I'm surprised they even, because they took, I get there and I check in. And again, I don't know why I had to be there at 9 a.m. to sit around, but I check in and like, okay, well, you're part of a panel 4. And I'm like, oh, my God, I'm going to be here forever. Because I'm assuming the only reason the standby people have to show up is they're trying to seat a jury and they couldn't get enough regular jurors. So they've gone to the standby. So the first group goes up, like, I'm there for 3 hours. The first group goes up, and then they call us up like an hour later. Out of us, there's 18 of us. They only chose like nine, because you submitted these cards ahead of time. They chose nine to talk to and interview, of which they chose four of those, dismissed the other five, and then sent us home. I got my check for $17.20, and I was on my way after a complete waste of time.
Yeah, and in 1981, when I went, I got a check for $17.20. So
really? Wow.
Yeah, it's, not much has changed, my friend.
Well, that's like getting paid $50 back then. That's a little something for the effort.
Yeah,
it's so, like minimum wage has not changed in this country.
No. So I after jury duty, and I was out in the burbs anyway, I called up this girl I was kind of on again, off again seeing. And keep in mind, I was 20. She was 21. So we went to a bar where she hangs out, and they just assumed I was old enough because I was with her.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're sitting in the bar. I'm sitting at the table. And, of course, when you fill in your jury duty forms, they have your birth date and all that information. So they knew that I'm 20.
Right.
This all becomes salient when I point out that the table we were sitting at, and I didn't realize it right away, the table we were sitting at, when I turned around to place my order for my next beer, I realized I was sitting to the entire defense panel and all the cops from the trial.
Oh, nice.
I'm 20.
So what happened?
So I did the only thing a kid like me would do. I bought their whole table a round of drinks, made fun of being tossed out with prejudice. And I was like, I'm the only white person your guys are prejudiced against. And everyone got a big laugh out of that. They drank my beer and left me alone the rest of the night. And Darlene's like, I don't know why you're not in jail, because every time we go out, you do something like this.
I wish I had something as wacky to share. But so you check it, and maybe the other circuit courthouses are luxurious, but they take you down. It is this windowless, stuffy, poorly ventilated room in a basement under like bad flickering fluorescent lights. But you do get to watch this staticky TV that's like a 19-inch Zenith you might have had in your home in 1993. So I'm watching a very, covered with snow. If anybody who grew up in the 70s and 80s before cable, you'd have like, because two comes in the worst. Channel two comes in the worst. So watching The Price is Right. But then, you wonder why people try to get out of it. I'm like, don't you want to do your civic duty? If we were treated properly, maybe, but you can't just, we were treated like we were being punished for showing up to do our duty.
Yeah. In fact, I've actually been called to jury duty four times in my life. I never ended up on a panel or in a jury, but four times. I've not one of those people who shirks my duty, but it's weird because all four times I've been in different courthouses, and I can say this with some degree of experience. If you're going to get called to jury duty, get called in Skokie, because when I went there, there was this little old lady who had a platter of donuts and a big thing of coffee.
Wow.
So again, at least there was some,
There was a circuit court 15 minutes away. I had to go to this ancient one. I guess I'm just lucky I didn't have to go to 26th and California, which, if our listeners don't know, that's if your car gets towed, that's where you have to go, and it may be the most depressing place on earth.
Yeah, 26th and Cal. Well, 26th and Cal is not quite where your car gets towed to.
That's okay.
A little down the block. 26th and Cal is where your brother gets towed when he steals a car.
Oh, okay. That's it then.
It was kind of funny. Years ago, my dietitian was two blocks away from 26th and Cal. So I would get off the bus, walk past Cook County Courthouse in the jail, and then go in there and, get my blood pressure taken. It's up now, isn't it? Because of all those nice people standing outside. Fun time. But yeah, that's my fun. I went to Maywood Courthouse, and you're right. It's a dismal dystopian basement where you feel like you've done something horribly wrong, and your mom's going to take you outside and go, no more Kiddyland for you and no ice cream until next Tuesday.
Oh, good old Kiddyland in Melrose Park. Yeah. But I mean, you're guided in, and it's the juror entrance. Okay. This is where we're coming in, but there's like four cops in like full battle armor, ushering you in. And I understand going through security, and that's fine. And then, whatever, put your phone here, put your thing on that, whatever. I'm fine. I'm used to that. Then, okay, we've all made it through security. I don't know why cops in full body armor have to usher us down to the courtroom. And I mean, what are we going to try to do? Make a run for it? Maybe somebody has.
I don't know. Back when I did Maywood, it was when I did Maywood, there was a cop at the entrance, and then there was a cop downstairs waiting, you know, and the security wasn't as tight. But of course, back then, and my mom worked part time for security at O'Hare, and you could walk in, and this is true, you could walk in and go, "I need to catch a flight," and they'd go, "Okay."
Right.
So it wasn't quite as tight. Wasn't quite as tight.
Oh, I remember, you know, before everything. Yeah, when before Midway was renovated and everything, I remember picking up my ex from a flight. I basically pulled right up to the curb, walked right in at the gate. She got out. We got in the car and we left. That was it. Nobody did anything. I didn't have to scan a thing. I didn't have to go through any security for parking, nothing. That was the good old days.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Those were the good. Back in the old days, I mean, if you had like a state ID, you could go to and from Europe. You just had to pick up a passport and a visa when you were there.
Right.
So that made travel much easier. I got an Illinois driver's license. Hop on. We're going to England. Okay.
Well, this was even in, and as long as we're just sharing stories, and today's segment is just going to be talking about the good old days in jury duty, but we went to some tournament in college, and we flew into Huntington, West Virginia, which back then, it was like going into Mayberry. And there, you could bring anything on a plane there. There's a guy walking in with, I'm not kidding you, like maybe they were hunting rifles, maybe he was a skeet shooter, but like rifles on his back, he's just getting right on the plane.
Yep. Yeah, I remember and the whole thing with smoking bans and everything was first starting.
Yeah.
I caught a flight to North Carolina, Charleston, I think it was. Not sure. But anyway, North Carolina. And we got on the plane in Chicago, so there was no smoking, and you know, you had to be careful with turning the air on. And there was all these different rules that we were following. And I'm, you know, I'm following along. I smoked back then. So I was like, all right, I'll be a good kid. Not going to give anybody grief. I get off the plane and there's a lady standing there. How do I put this? Do you remember the cigarette girls from the 30s?
Oh, sure.
Okay.
Well, I mean, I wasn't around in the 30s, but I've seen them on TV and in the movies.
Okay. Well, imagine a cigarette girl wearing a micro mini and a see-through halter.
Okay.
With a little tray on her belly. And she's like, what brand do you smoke? We're giving away freebies.
Nice.
I was like, welcome to North Carolina. So I picked up a pack of Newports for me then. And it was just like.
You could have chosen anything and you went with Newports back then. Were they still have like, you know, king size unfiltered Luckies?
No, I was a menthol kind of guy. I was a menthol kind of guy until I quit, actually. I just kept getting stronger and weirder menthols. And then finally I just quit.
Why don't you just smoke a regular cigarette and then take a hit off a Vicks inhaler and go back and forth?
There have been days where I did that. So yeah. We will not discuss that right now.
Sure.
I discovered that Hall's Mentholyptus can help you if you've got, if you're stuck with a Marlboro.
Okay, perfect. I will tell you, and speaking of smoking, I will tell you one thing I noticed, like, wow, this Maywood Courthouse has not had a single improvement made in however many years, but I got to peek into the door was open next to the courtroom, and it had to be some office. Maybe it was some sort of cafeteria, but they had those old chairs with ashtrays built into the arms. And you haven't seen those in a long time.
I was recently down at the Daily Center on business. And I happened to walk past the lawyer's room, and everybody in there had a cigarette gone.
So just remember,
in the building, unless you're a lawyer, then you go in there and catch all the cancer you want.
When you pay taxes for Cook County or any sort of fine or anything, where does that money go? It is certainly not to improve city services. I don't know where it goes.
No, I don't either. And I live in the city, and it's like our alderwoman is trying to do stuff like on a business-by-business basis, and I was like, I'm not mad at her or upset with her. She does an incredible job and is doing an incredible job. But it's like she's doing all of this without resources. It's kind of like, let's get the gang together and put on a show. You would think there'd be a little more level of professionalism and infrastructure when you're talking about, you know, a neighborhood that has a 250,000 people.
Right.
But you would be wrong, but that's what you might think.
And the last thing I will share about jury duty is, okay, you're going to go into the courtroom, so come up and get your juror badge, which is a sticker. I get that. That's fine. And get your mask. And I will say, oh, well, I already have a mask. Like, no, you have to wear this one. I said, what is it? It was a clear mask with this foam thing that went under your chin because, you know, if they're interviewing you, they have to be able to read your facial expression.
Mm-hmm. Well, sounds kind of cool.
Yeah, but I just feel like this is not the greatest way of filtering. It's bad enough you have a ton of people in a small room, which, thank you very much, replied COVID. Then I have this mask that I'm not sure is doing anything. But I'm sure should I fall sick and get COVID as a result of my pointless jury duty appointment, I am quite confident the city of Chicago will cover all of my medical bills.
It's funny you bring up the mask. I just have to bring this up really quick because you're old enough you'll remember it. There are a series of face masks. You can buy them online from the Johnny Quest show, and they have all the characters kind of there, but the lips part is clear, so you can do lip along like the old Johnny Quest cartoon.
Oh, good old Clutch Cargo, too, yeah?
Clutch Cargo, yeah. Clutch Cargo, Johnny Quest, where they made, like, you know, 10 cartoons a week on a $1.75 budget and a six-pack of beer.
Right. They just kind of shook the picture, and that was your animation. Yeah, I used to run them on the old Bozo show.
Yeah, I, when I got a little older, we used to love watching the Spider-Man cartoons because no matter what, he would be swinging through, he'd either be swinging through a series of canyons or, you know, caves with no explanation as to how that has anything to do with the show, or else he'd be like, here comes the Mole Man, and then he'd be swinging along on the top of the buildings in New York. And it was, you could tell they were just reusing the same 2 or 3 seconds of footage over and over and over and over again. And, oh, well.
Well, this was a very Chicago-specific segment, but I'm sure our listeners around the world can relate. I'm sure there is a meddling bureaucracy in whatever city you live in. But fun to give you a little bit of the fun history or Bill and I's relationship with the city. So in the meantime, I want you to go over to BillMcSciFi.com. BillMcSciFi.com. Follow the all-new Big Wake Up Call podcast. That's it. You can find us. Bill, thanks as always. We'll talk next time.
All right, my friend, you take care.
Bye-bye.